Good afternoon, Idaho. My name is Preston Sprinkle. I'm the host of What Does the Bible Really Say? A show where we examine just that, what the Bible really says about various topics. We've been looking at the topic of hell for the past few shows. We're going to keep going on this debated and often not thought about doctrine. I feel like I've heard more sermons on hell growing up than I do the last 10 years, than I have the last 10 years or so. It seems that people do not want to talk about hell, and I understand why. I don't want to talk about hell. This isn't something that I love to think about. In fact, most of the time when I start looking at a passage about hell or thinking about hell, my mind just wants to race to think about something else. But here's the thing. If the creator of the universe, the one who breathed stars into existence and breathed new life into your lungs, if he gave us his word that is inspired, and if in that inspired word, if in the very breath of God, he talks about something, whatever it is, then we should pay attention, right? I mean, just logically, if you grant that the Bible is inspired, that it is the word of God, that it is God's revelation to us, the creator to the creature, and if in that it talks about this place called hell, then we need to pay attention. We want to honor our creator and submit to his word, even if there are things in it we don't love. You know, years ago, when I started studying the Bible, I was about 19 or 20 years old when I first entered a Christian college and was taking Bible classes. And early on, I said, you know what? I want to form my beliefs around what the scriptures say at all cost. And I know we hear that a lot, but I want to continually bring my beliefs, my presuppositions, my traditions, my assumptions to the text and let the text critique my beliefs. And I've been on that journey, and it's an exciting journey now for 18, 20 years or so. And I love it. I love coming face to face with Scripture and letting the text of God's Word confront me and encourage me and bless me and grace me and challenge me. And that's what we're doing on the show. What does the Bible really say? In the last show, last Friday, we continued to look at the New Testament, specifically Jesus, and we concluded that Jesus does actually talk a lot about hell. And hell is a place of punishment where people go if they receive a negative verdict on Judgment Day. That seems to be the consistent meaning of the word Gehenna when it's used throughout the Gospels. And Jesus also uses or talks about hell by using different images and phrases. Even if he doesn't use the actual word hell in certain passages, he'll talk about hell with images of fire and judgment and darkness and other images in the Gospels. Did you know? Hey, here's an interesting fact about Jesus and hell. Did you know that Jesus most often spoke about hell to those who thought that they were in? Religious people. That may sound kind of shocking. You know, isn't hell for the unbeliever? Well, yes it is, and Jesus makes that very clear. But when Jesus is talking about the doctrine, when he, you know, uses images of fire and judgment and darkness, most often he's speaking to religious people. He wasn't speaking to the woman at the well, the tax collector, the sinner. In fact, I don't know of any passage where Jesus encounters a sinner, you know, the capital S sinner, the one who just has sins hanging off of them, if you will. The tax collector, the woman caught in adultery, and so on. When he encounters these people, he fronts love and grace and forgiveness. The unconditional stuff, you know. Think of like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is the sinner of all sinners, and he encounters Zacchaeus, And the only thing he says to Zacchaeus in Luke 19 is, "Hey, Zacchaeus, I need to have a meal with you." And then based on that encounter of love, Zacchaeus repents. He didn't talk about hell. He didn't even call Zacchaeus in the carpet for all of his laundry list of sins. He just fronted love, and he loved Zacchaeus into holiness. But when Jesus talks about hell, he often talks about hell to religious people who were judgmental of other sinners. Religious people who were legalistic. Religious people who didn't care about the poor. In fact, Matthew 25 is probably the longest passage on, or the longest discussion about judgment. And there, Jesus, when he talks about the criteria of who will pass judgment day, who will receive a positive verdict, enter my kingdom, and who will receive a negative verdict on judgment day, the criteria of who's in and who's out in that passage is, did you help the poor? That's just what the text says. Again, this is what the Bible really says. I didn't write it. Sometimes I read it and I scratch my head thinking, wow, Jesus, that's pretty risky. But he says, the evidence of whether you are truly in, part of the evidence, there's lots of evidences, right? I mean, faith, obedience, repentance. According to this passage, the evidence is, did you care for the poor? And he's speaking this to a religious audience. But when he encounters the sinner, he doesn't preach a hellfire brimstone sermon to them. And so I've been talking a lot about hell. I'm going to keep talking a lot about hell. I think the Bible teaches it. I think it's a very pervasive doctrine in the scriptures, especially the New Testament. But I'm also going to say, you know what, Mr. Hellfire Brimstone preacher on the sidewalk, I don't think that's Jesus's approach. Screaming out, yelling hell to all unbelievers without any sort of context or relationship. That's not what Jesus did. He often spoke about hell when he encountered religious people to warn them, to make sure, do you know that you're in? How do you know you're in? Does your life reflect a Christian lifestyle? So we're still talking about hell here on What Does the Bible Really Say. Let's talk about Paul for a second. Another interesting fact about hell is that Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote 13 letters in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul never once used the word hell. We talked about various words in the last show. Gehenna is the main one, translated hell. We also talked about Hades and Tartarus. Paul never, in all of his 13 letters, he never uses the word Gehenna. I don't know if you knew that. I remember when I first came across that fact, I was a little shocked. I just figured that Paul talked about hell quite a bit. But he never actually used the word hell. Now, if you are here on the show, well, not physically, but if you were mentally here on the show listening in last Friday, you remember us making the distinction between the word hell and the concept of hell. I think that's an important distinction to make. Biblical writers can talk about hell without using the actual word, just like we can talk about heaven without using the word heaven. We can talk about eternal bliss, living forever, and so on and so forth. So going back to Paul never uses the actual word hell, but in more than 80 instances, Paul talks about future judgment. He talks about the wrath of God. He talks about the wicked being punished and destroyed. In fact, let me give you a quick rundown on some of these references. And for what it's worth, I mentioned this a few shows ago, but a lot of the material that I'm drawing from is from this book called Erasing Hell, What God Said About Eternity and the Things We Made Up, written by Francis Chan and myself. We wrote this book together a few years ago, and so a lot of the information that I'm saying is here in print in Erasing Hell. I'm looking now at page 109, footnote 1. Where we list all these different words in Paul that aren't hell, it's not Gehenna, It's not Tartarus, it's not Hades, but it's clearly, Paul's clearly referring to some sort of judgment, afterlife judgment. He uses the term death or die on several occasions to refer to the punishment for sin. Romans 1:32, Romans 5:12, 5:14, 5:15, 5:17, 5:21, 6:16, 6:21, and on and on and on. You get the picture. He also uses the terms perish or destroy or destruction. And I have in the book on page 109, I have all the Greek words that correlate to these English words listed here as well. Perish, destroy, destruction, Romans 2:12, 9:22, Romans 14:15, 1 Corinthians 1:18, and many, many, many others. He talks about wrath. Two different Greek words there, translated wrath in Romans 1:18, 2:5, 2:8, 3:5, 5:9, Ephesians 2:3. He uses the word condemn, condemnation, or judge with several different Greek words, all with the same Greek root. In Romans 2:1, 2:2, 2:3, 2:5, 2 Thessalonians 2:12. You getting all these as you're driving? I really hope nobody got in an accident as they're trying to copy down these references. Again, Race in Hell, page 109. You don't need to write these down. Just check them there. He also uses the term curse or cursed, the Greek word anathema. Maybe you've heard of the Greek word anathema in Romans 9:3, Galatians 1:8. He uses the term punish in a few occasions, 1 Thessalonians 4:6, 2 Thessalonians 1:8 and 1:9. So Paul never uses the word hell. So I've seen people say Paul didn't even care about hell, didn't believe in hell, didn't, you know, write about hell, and that is only a half truth. And so many times a half truth is nothing more than an untruth. Untruth. I don't know if that's a word, but you get the point. Paul, it's true, Paul never uses the term Gehenna, Hades, Tartarus, never uses an actual word for hell, but probably more than any, not probably, let me just say it, more than any other biblical writer, Paul talks about wrath, punishment, judgment. What is going to happen if you do not bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible talks a lot about that. And I don't think, again, that we should be using that to scare people into the kingdom. I don't think all of our sermons should, our evangelistic messages, I don't think should be fronted with some sort of, you need to avoid hell, and therefore, maybe there's a place for that. I'm not saying don't do that. I'm saying that the biblical pattern doesn't seem to follow that. To follow Jesus, the biblical pattern is that we love people like crazy and love them into the kingdom so that they have faith in Jesus Christ. My name is Preston Sprinkle. This is What Does the Bible Really Say? We'll see you next time.